Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Mountain View Chevy Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville on Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to all you lovers out there. This one's for you.
Ooh.
Be fun to be a radio DJ on Valentine's Day. This one goes out to all the lovers. If you're riding with your girl, if you're riding with your guy, lean over and grab their hand and give them a little kiss and say, I love you.
That would be pretty cool. Just kick in a little Journey faithfully. I'm forever yours, faithfully.
Play a couple breakup songs, too, for all the lonely people
love
on Bounce.
Love hurts.
We could keep it. I mean, I would try to keep it, like, also include some 90s and 2000 hits, too.
Yeah, I know. You don't like good music.
Well, I just don't think that good music stopped in the 70s or 80s or 90s, whatever genre you're, whatever time frame you're.
Hey, there's a few good things in the 2000s. I haven't really heard anything good since 2010, but anyway, that's just my opinion.
Happy Valentine's Day to all the lovers out there.
People are going to have a good holiday, hopefully. Happy Valentine's Day to you, John.
Thank you. If any of you guys make a baby tonight, John's a pretty strong name. Or Reed. I mean, Reed is not a bad first name either. I mean, I'm just saying.
What's your middle name?
Marcus.
Marcus, yeah. Well, there you go. There's another first name. You could use that one. Any of those strong names.
Thanks. Thanks, man.
Yeah. You doing anything to celebrate the holiday?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, me neither.
No, I'm not.
And I'm happy about it.
Well, good for you, Cody.
What about you?
Am I happy about it, is what you're asking?
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it. Might do something. I don't know.
I mean, something I'm not, like alone or with someone or a friend?
Just don't worry about it. Just let me live my life. How's that sound?
I mean, I thought that's why we were here.
Can I just live my life?
I thought that's why we were here, to ask each other questions about our personal lives. All right. Well, you keep to yourself then.
What's the biggest sports story?
Well, considering Tennessee played last night, I'm probably going to go with that. I usually go off the Tennessee game the night after the game. So
you're going with Tennessee?
Yeah, probably.
Sean White's a pretty big deal. Sean White.
I mean, he won gold, yeah.
Legendary. Sean White is a legend.
Yeah, he is.
Sean White is a legend, and he you know, I'm not going to lie, the sit-down with Mike Tirico got me a little bit. Talking about him falling and busting his face and how he wanted to hang it up because, you know, he was in so much pain. And that if he walked back out on the court, or on the slope, I guess, not the court, if he walked back out on the ice, he was basically admitting that he was okay with going through that pain again, is what he said. That was a tough thing to swallow. But then he went out and he won him a gold.
He was pretty impressive. I mean, because all those guys, the thing about the snowboarding this year to me, you know, and they keep talking about it during the broadcast, is they're doing so many other things that they weren't doing even 4 years ago, 8 years ago. It has really sort of evolved. I think that's the word, not evolutionized. It has evolved to where these guys are all really, really good. I mean, I know they're all Olympians, but even compared to the Olympians 4 years ago, the snowboarding guys are incredible. So for Sean White to basically outdo all of them. I mean, his first run probably would have won gold, I thought. Did you see his first run?
No.
No. Well, he was great. He was great. He was pulling off these, what, like the 1400s? Like most of those guys were struggling to hit like a 1260 or 1250 or whatever it is. He's pulling off.
And this was talking snowboarding with John and Cody.
He got a lot of air. Had a lot of air in it.
But yeah, Tennessee. Tennessee gets a win last night. An ugly win, but a win. An ugly win, but a win on voluntary reaction with Russell and Brandon. I said the end of the game came down to Tennessee had Grant Williams, South Carolina did not.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, they needed the bucket there, and they got it. So, I don't know. He's done that for them on many occasions. Obviously, Grant Williams is the guy probably you want to bail you out inside if you can have somebody. And that really was the difference.
Tennessee went through some lulls that remind you of how frustrating it is at times. You know, you kind of come back down to earth on that a little bit of just like, oh, yeah, before we were on that win streak, this team wasn't perfect. This team did let teams hang around. You think back to the Vanderbilt home matchup, right? And they come back from, I think, 18 down to cut it to 1.
Yeah, on January 23rd.
Yeah, you start remembering that. Yeah, January 23rd.
Which is not that long ago.
It really isn't. It's about 3 weeks ago.
But, you know, we decided to ride that train, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you started winning, and then you started blowing teams out, so you didn't really have those late-game tests. But last night you were kind of reminded, oh, yeah, this team can struggle at times and let teams back in it. And they did that with South Carolina. South Carolina cuts it to 1 with about 40 seconds left.
Yeah.
And it seemed, I mean, I didn't necessarily like South Carolina trying to play that out. It's not enough time for a point. You know, there wasn't enough clock differential for South Carolina, in my opinion. And like with college basketball having the 1-1, and I'm fairly certain Tennessee would have still been in a 1-1 situation and just missed a 1-1 earlier. I like to extend the game. Down 1, like 35 seconds left. I like to foul.
Make them hit them.
Make them hit a free throw. Give you a chance to keep extending that game. They're going to miss one eventually, and usually you can get a wide open layup on the other end. Instead, South Carolina decides to bite the bullet and try to guard Grant Williams 1-on-1. He hits a turnaround jumper in the lane.
Yeah.
Puts Tennessee up 3. And at that point, South Carolina had, what, 8 seconds left?
Yeah, something like that.
Not enough.
I thought it was like 4.
Nah, yeah. I believe they had 8.
Well, maybe it was 8. But either way, it'd be a better idea probably to extend the game than it would be to put yourself in that situation where you get 1 possession and you got to hit a 3.
And you're not going to stop Grant Williams.
Yeah.
And you're not going to stop him. And you didn't. And you put the game away. Yeah, the Frank Booker layup came with 38 seconds left. So there's an 8-second differential right there. Tennessee scores with 12 seconds left. South Carolina gets a timeout with 9 seconds left. And then, yeah, they get a shot up with the second remaining. I thought Tennessee was going to foul. Maybe Rick Barnes didn't want to put on film that he's going to foul every time in those situations. Let South Carolina shoot the 3. All of us here in Knoxville praying, please no overtime. I know Russell and Brandon, as they were getting ready for the postgame show, praying, please no overtime. I had to do a postgame hit. I was at home, and I still was like, oh, no, please don't go in. I want to do my radio hit and then go lay down in bed. But they missed. Tennessee wins. 865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in. We'll get to the phone lines to kick off the next segment. It's Talk Sports right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back on the program, Tennessee able to get a win last night, 70-67. Grant Williams leads the way, 22 points, 7 of 10 shooting, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. I mean, he's probably been the most consistent player in the SEC this year. I'd say right now he does look like he has a really good chance to win SEC Player of the Year. I don't want to say he's the best player in the SEC because I said that Colin Sexton was better than him after the Alabama game. Right, the lottery pick from Alabama.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been as consistent.
No, he hasn't. I do remember when they played Oklahoma, a lot of the scouts were in attendance for that one, not just for Trey Young, but for him too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, yeah, he's a lottery pick. Yeah. He's a lottery pick. Grant Williams averaging 16 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists per game. Pretty stout. Pretty stout. And he's been there for Tennessee when they need him. He was there last night. He has 22. Admiral Schofield getting back in the positive column. He had had a couple games where he was struggling. Last night he goes 6-for-9, 13 points. Nice. Kyle Alexander struggled. Limited minutes, foul trouble. You didn't get anything from him, which led to John Fulkerson. I guess John Fulkerson's now going to get more minutes than Walker. I thought Derek Walker had taken over his minutes, right? Yeah. I thought Derek Walker had kind of cemented himself as that backup big man off the bench. Fulkerson last night gets 7 minutes. Doesn't play bad, scores 4 points, has a block, has a rebound. Had a nice little scramble, I guess, where it kind of looked like he was out of position in the second half when he went for a double team and then ended up getting South Carolina with a charge call. So he played some scrambling team defense. I don't know how that would get graded out because if the South Carolina big man catches and shoots a 10-foot wide-open jumper and hits it, all of a sudden it looks really stupid. But instead he tried to put the ball on the floor and ended up leading into a charge. Struggled. Scoring-wise, at least. 4 assists, no turnovers. So I guess from a point guard sense, he did okay, but only gives you 2 points. JD3, your other guard, who you're kind of relying on to help take Tennessee to another level, 1-for-6 from the field. Did hit a deep, deep 3 towards the end of that game, which looked like it was going to give Tennessee enough points to hold South Carolina off. He was the one. He was the recipient of the Rick Barnes ass-chewing. That was caught on TV with about 10 minutes left in the game, mm-hmm. where you saw Rick Barnes really getting into him. And to JD3's credit, he took it in stride. To me, it would have been hard to have been there, okay, I got you, coach. Enough, I understand. But he just kind of not kept nodding, yeah, I got you. I know I messed up. So he gets benched, comes back, has a couple turnovers after that. Not a good game from him. He was the opposite of Jordan Bone. I said he had 4 assists, no turnovers. Well, James Daniel III went no assists, 4 turnovers, including a couple costly ones at the end that almost cost Tennessee the game. You need him to play better. I thought he had turned a corner a couple weeks ago. Kind of went back into being a little bit of a pumpkin so far.
A pumpkin?
A pumpkin.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the carriage turned into at Cinderella?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the thing? At midnight, the Cinderella goes back to the pumpkin?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe so.
So he's kind of going back to the pumpkin. I thought he was Cinderella ready to be the belle of the ball, but kind of played like a pumpkin the last couple of games. You get it now?
I think I do, yeah.
Okay.
Cinderella is a fantastic story.
I think if it came out today, I feel like step-parents would get mad about it.
Because most step-parents don't beat their...
Yeah, stepchild. The whole movie is about the wicked stepmother, right? If Peter Rabbit is going to have to apologize for food allergies, I feel like we would apologize for Cinderella.
Oh, yeah. If we're going there with movies, then there are a lot of
especially
movies.
Like a kid's movie. Half of marriages end in divorce, right? And then, those people get remarried, so then you have stepkids. I don't know, what the percentage is on people who have kids in those said marriages, but I'd say, 35%? Of kids have step parents. I'd say more people have step parents than have food allergies like blackberries.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Cinderella wouldn't get made in 2018.
It's probably closer to 50%.
Yeah, Cinderella wouldn't get made in 2015 or 18. 2018, 3 years behind.
2015, 2018.
Yeah,
which is 16. Somewhere in there.
It'd get made in 2015. 2018, no. We've come a drastically long way in 3 years.
Yeah.
The difference between 2015 and 2018 might as well be as wide as the Grand Canyon.
I feel like she took a lot of unnecessary crap from her family, you know?
Yeah, the step family.
I always felt bad for her.
Yeah.
She was never that bad looking, you know? Like, they made it out to be. Like, the sisters were so much better, so much prettier, so much cooler. I thought she was fine. You know, Cinderella, she was her own thing. I mean, she wasn't as flashy as the other two sisters, but she was her own thing. I really liked her.
You always tell she had a good personality.
Absolutely.
She was a catch.
Yeah.
It's like in Princess Diaries when you knew Anne Hathaway was pretty attractive, and then all of a sudden they just put her hair down and take her glasses off, and all of a sudden she's a princess.
Whoa.
We saw it coming the whole time. The glasses were actually kind of cute. Kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
But JD3, kind of back to being the pumpkin.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed with these games, it's like they either get a lot of production off the bench, and Williams and Schofield don't play as well.
Yeah.
Or it's kind of the opposite. You know, like in this scenario, Grant Williams was a monster. Schofield, pretty good game from him, 13. And just not as much off the bench this time as we've seen several games more recently.
Bowden able to hit four threes. 4 for 10 from the field, able to hit four threes. There was that really ugly stretch when Tennessee just was playing bad basketball. They couldn't get stops. It went from a 14-point game to a 1-point game pretty quickly. And a lot of people complaining about the officiating. It didn't seem like a well-officiated game on either side. I thought South Carolina had some weird calls. Tennessee, there was the basket interference on Alexander, I think, who didn't look like a basket interference. There was the jump ball that led to a bucket. There was a foul on a three-pointer. And I thought in the NBA, like when you shoot a three and someone else gets fouled, you get the three and then just a free throw. The person who gets fouled gets a free throw. I guess in college you get to keep the ball, which led to a 5-point possession. That really helped cut that game, I think, from 11 to 6 with about 7-8 minutes left. It was just a weird game. 9 o'clock tip on a Tuesday night. Either way, not a great performance from Tennessee, but you're able to get your 19th win of the season, and you're able to get your 9th conference win, which it said was the most since Tennessee went to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, just got to keep winning. I mean, that's all that really matters. I mean, over the schedule, you know, you'll have games like this. Does it make you think, because just a week ago we were talking about how Tennessee had turned into a team that was finishing games off. You know, they're beating people by 23 points, by 26 points, by 30 points. And you're thinking, okay, they've learned how to finish teams off. But like you mentioned, not that big of a, you know, that Vanderbilt.
I've kind of dialed back my expectations. You know, if you'd have asked me before the Alabama game if I thought this team could make the Final Four, I'd say yes. I would have said, you know, I kind of expect to make the Elite Eight. I'd kind of work my way into expecting to make the Elite Eight. At this point, I still think you should get to the Sweet 16, but that seems like that's about as far as you should go. Not say that's as far as you can go.
Yeah, because this is the kind of team that, you know how the tournament goes.
Yeah.
I mean, it could very well be that team that made the Elite Eight.
Advanced a further round in my head. Look around the rest of the SEC last night. Not good results for Tennessee. Nothing bad. Nothing really unexpected, right? Tennessee able to win. Missouri beats Texas A&M. They've won their 5th in a row. They went from 3-5 in the SEC to 8-5 real quick.
Just like Konzo to turn it on in February.
Konzo turning it on in February. They beat Texas A&M at Ole Miss. No surprise there. Andy Kennedy going out with a whimper. And Alabama beats LSU by 15 in Alabama.
Yeah.
So Alabama, Missouri able to keep pace with Tennessee, stay a game behind them. Tonight on the docket for the SEC, Mississippi State at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt actually a 1-point favorite in that game despite Mississippi State playing better. Kentucky finds themselves anywhere from an 8.5 to 10-point underdog at Auburn, which seems crazy to say. Any chance Kentucky could pull that upset? That seems so weird to say if we're asking if there's any chance Kentucky can beat Auburn at basketball.
I think there's a chance. I mean, I'm never going to rule Kentucky out. That Auburn team, maybe it's just me hoping they'll slip up at some point.
Yeah.
You know, because Tennessee's still close enough with a good enough schedule that they could still catch Auburn. I don't know if it's likely. I'd give Kentucky a chance, though.
And Georgia goes to Florida. You know, if Georgia could beat Florida, that'd be a nice night for Tennessee. Give Tennessee some breathing room from Florida and get them back in sole possession of second place. But Florida, 10-point favorites at home against Georgia. Tennessee's next two opponents tonight tip off at 9 p.m. in Gainesville. Saturday feels like Tennessee needs to go down to Georgia and really win. Like, you need a good performance. You need a good performance.
Yeah, I mean, especially because of, you know, last night's performance, and then you pair that with the beatdown at Alabama. Really, you haven't played well since that Saturday against Ole Miss. I mean, even the win at Kentucky, as great as it was, you didn't play well. You looked terrible Saturday. At times last night, you looked okay. I mean, Grant Williams obviously played well. But to only win by three and to struggle like that at home, you do need a big-time performance. Be nice to go down to Georgia and beat them by about 20.
865-546-8200 if you'd like to weigh in about Tennessee basketball. If not, I think we hit it. Time to move on. Anything else you'd want to say about Tennessee basketball, Cody?
Not really. Just trying to catch Auburn.
Play good, Tennessee basketball. Play good.
Just
10. Did you play this song because it says love in it? Good job by you, Ben. It says love.
That's what a great producer does.
It's summer love, and we're in February, but I'll take it. You're working with a limited supply. It's not like the whole internet can be streamed on your computer. I mean, you're working with just the songs in the system. No worries, Ben. Good job. Love. Love.
Love is great. Love is blind.
I don't think that's true.
I don't know what that means.
What does love is blind mean? Just that, like, you're going to love whoever you love because of what's inside of them? Because I don't feel like that's true.
I think it means more like you are blind to all the bad things that they do because you just love them so much.
You know what they say, love is blind.
Love is blind. I'm fed up with this world.
I kind of liked the way you said it. So you're going to be blind to all the other stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, okay. You know, let's say, you know, theoretically, you're with a girl and she cheats on you twice a week. But you're blind to that because you love her. So you just pretend it doesn't happen.
Hmm.
And then eventually you drive yourself totally insane.
You know. I think I now believe that love is blind. I came into this thinking it's not, thinking that's a stupid saying, but then you lay it out for me like that, like the true wordsmith you are, and now I'm thinking.
I mean, I don't know that that's what it means. That's just my interpretation.
No, I mean, I like your interpretation.
It's blind.
Because when you are in love, you are blind to maybe some of the warning signs and things like that.
Like maybe you have a girlfriend and she's blind, actually physically blind, but it doesn't bother.
Yeah, maybe.
Or like these people, you know, let's say someone's in a really, really bad accident, right? You know, that's always a theoretical question that they ask in movies. Like, would you still love me if I didn't have a head? You know what I mean? So, like,
if you didn't have a head.
You know what I mean.
Like, I've never heard it, like, if you never had a head.
Would you still love me if I didn't have any arms? Whatever. So, yeah, the head, that was a joke, that's it, because if you don't have a head,
you're dead.
You're dead, so.
Yeah, unless you're a chicken.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. Would you still love me if I didn't have any arms? It's like, of course I would, because love is blind, and I don't see your lack of arms. I see your heart, And that's what matters.
I don't think you tell them that love is blind. I don't think you're supposed to say that.
No, you just,
I think love is blind is supposed to kind of be an excuse you use with your homeboys. How'd you end up with her? Love is blind, man.
Love is blind.
Love is blind. You don't tell them love is blind. You tell them that beauty's on the inside. That's what you tell them. When it comes to the arms thing, oh, don't worry about it. I love you for you.
Or let's say...
you have arms on the inside.
Or let's say you're blind and you don't know that she doesn't have any arms.
Now we've really proven that love is blind, yes.
Unless, I mean, you figure it out pretty quickly when you're, you know...
going for a hug.
Going for a hug and you're like, oh, what is that?
You started out so poetic and pretty, and you ended up with a blind person hugging someone without arms.
This is where I like to go.
Yeah. You took us right through that journey pretty quickly.
I like to make you think it's going to be wonderful, and then I like to crash and burn.
Yeah.
Tragically.
Yeah.
Like a Scorsese movie. That's what I want my life to be.
Well, you're running out of time to make it real pretty and feel good before you crash and burn.
I haven't even made it pretty yet.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You're running out of time.
Yeah, well, probably. What is that photo you're looking at? It looks like a nice resort.
It is a nice resort that the audience can't see, that was just scrolling on my computer. We got some suggestions for Valentine's Day power rankings. Rom-coms.
Oh, God, no, please. What other suggestions?
Well, what do you want? Because rom-coms makes the most sense to me.
Well, what other suggestions were there?
Let me pull it up and look.
I'm just going to go look at your mentions.
I'm going to look it up.
I see right here.
Best chick flicks and rom-coms leading the way with the most votes.
Popcorn says worst days and ways to propose.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so many, though.
Well, I know.
Feel like that could be. There's a million.
Things you love. Also on there.
Power ranking. The worst types of dates. Things you love.
Yeah.
That seems very... I mean, I feel like you could go anywhere with that. You know what I mean? It's very generic.
TV couples. And you're not going to want to do that one either.
Sex positions. I like that one.
I don't know if I can name five.
Call up... Megan Barry, Mayor Barry, see what she says.
Rank the different kinds of chocolates and those sampler hearts. I can't name those. Like, out of the suggestions we got, because, like, Valentine's Day candy. What's the difference between Valentine's Day candy and just candy?
Well, see, I'm always better
with
those.
You get the little Smarties that say, be mine? Like, is that the only difference? That's the only Valentine's Day specific candy I could think of.
See, I'd be way better at those than rom-coms. You're better with movies. I'm better with foods.
Okay, well, name some of the candies for me.
I don't know. I mean, there's the chocolates. Like, there's a truffles, you know, the Lindor. You ever had those? No, they're
chocolate? Like, chocolate's the time.
No, these are a different kind of chocolate. The Lindor truffles. Oh,
so truffles. You got truffles and Smarties.
Tell me you've had those.
You got two different types of Valentine's Day candy. What else?
Oh, I mean, there's 1,000.
Then name some of them. If there's 1,000, it should be hard to name more than 2.
There's 1,000 just chocolates. Like, you get one of the Russell Stover.
So we're
going to
be rating chocolate.
No, you get a Russell Stover.
Well, chocolate falls under the same umbrella then. That's my point.
Okay, then that's not a good one to do.
That was my point. First, chocolate. Like, what else are we giving? Jewelry? Do guys get anything for Valentine's Day?
Flowers.
Have you ever gotten flowers before?
No. Nobody's ever gotten me flowers.
Thought about bringing you flowers today.
You did?
Thought about it.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, I didn't actually think about getting you flowers.
If anything, you should have brought me one of those big stuffed panda bears. I love those things.
I couldn't decide between the panda bear and the chocolate.
Jewelry.
Yeah, but all those are for women. Like, the guys don't get anything. What do guys get for Valentine's Day?
Sex. That's the main thing.
And that's pretty much it, right? A tool set? You get a tool set? I feel like that's a Christmas gift. Do guys get tool sets on Valentine's Day?
I don't think guys get tool sets on Valentine's
Day. Well, I'm asking. What do guys get on Valentine's Day? Besides love.
Love, sex, maybe a movie that they, I don't know, maybe a dinner. I mean, usually the guy pays for the dinner, though.
I guess a home-cooked meal. A home-cooked meal would count.
Yeah, if your significant lady were to cook you a a meal, but I feel like that doesn't happen as often. I feel like usually you're taking her out. You know what I mean? You're taking her out for a you know, something, steak or something.
T Carp said he got a new knife. So that's kind of like a tool set. That's tool set of Jace. Some tools.
I mean, a knife is a tool, I suppose.
It's tool set of Jace.
What does that mean?
Adjacent. It's adjacent to tool set. Like, it's in the family. It's close to the tools.
It's like a cousin of the wrench.
It's a cousin of the wrench. Or of the screwdriver. Probably more so a cousin of the screwdriver because they've both got the sharp edges.
More like a power drill.
I'd say the knife's more like a screwdriver than it is a power tool.
I'm just thinking of things you could, like, jam into someone that would do some damage.
Yeah. The backside of a hammer.
I guess, yeah.
You get that backside of the hammer swinging full speed, you can go right into somebody good.
Yeah, that would be, not doing much with the front side of the hammer, though.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. We'll be back on the other side.
Precision Life.
Fox Sports Knoxville proudly broadcast from the Mountain View Chevy Studios. You want a Chevy? Yeah, you want a Chevy. You've been thinking about that Chevy for a long time. Well, I got news for you. If you want a Chevy, you got to go to Mountain View Chevy, because unless it comes from Mountain View Chevy, it's just not a real Chevy. They have one of the largest truck selections in Tennessee, the Silverado Truck Champion. That's right. They are the champion of all Silverados. And it's discounted up to $14,000 off. Located at 310 East 20th Street, right off of I-24 in downtown Chattanooga. You can search the inventory, compare prices online at mtnviewchevy.com. And just remember, it's not a Chevy unless it's a Mountain View Chevy. Who are you over here sending pictures to?
What?
Cody sent all commercial break, snapping some pictures.
Oh, I was just sending out a few happy Valentine's days to some friends.
Oh, just casting out a wide net, huh?
Did you want one?
Kind of.
Oh, I didn't send you one.
I can see you. Yeah, I know what the picture would have looked like.
We're right here together.
I know what the picture would have looked like.
I sent it to a lot of friends.
So far we've got a knife for Valentine's Day. We've gotten a case of beer and candy. We've gotten Waffle House, and we've gotten protein, chocolate protein.
What's your favorite Valentine you've ever received?
Probably just dinner.
No.
What, you got a better story? What's yours?
No, I don't have a better story.
Oh.
I was just thinking it's kind of sad. I mean, all mine are sad.
Cars and candy. I love cars and candy.
Yeah. I usually just get something from my mom now. My mom will usually send me something.
This is getting depressing.
Yeah, I know.
This is getting depressing.
It's actually not. It's very nice. It's very nice of her to still send me a Valentine.
Well, your mom's just like, my baby's got to get something.
I tell her I'm too old. I'm too old for Valentine's.
Your mom still sends you Valentine's
Day,
huh?
She usually does.
What does she send?
I like, chocolates.
Did she send something this year?
No, not yet. I might not get anything this year. I got
really. I'm gonna bring you some chocolate tomorrow, just in case Mama doesn't send you anything.
I'll be all right. When I was a kid, I got Survivor Series on DVD one time.
Nice. Which
that
year?
That was cool. 02.
Okay.
Or I think 02. Yeah, the one where Shawn Michaels won the Elimination Chamber.
Nice.
Against Triple H.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That was a good Valentine's Day gift.
It was. I got that and chocolates and stuff.
You just ate your chocolate and watched wrestling. I can't think of anything better, honestly.
Yeah, it's a pretty good day.
Let's go to the phone lines. Let's bring Jay. Jay, what's up, man?
John, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. How are you?
Oh, it's a day of love, John. It's a great day, man. You should embrace it.
I'm ready. I'm arms open. I love Valentine's Day. I love love.
Hey, man, did y'all see that ESPN article about the roster, all the college football rosters, and who should be doing what and what they said about Tennessee.
I saw where they said Tennessee fit the criteria of a playoff caliber team next year because they've recruited in the top 15 the last 4 years.
What do you think about that?
I mean, if we're my initial thought to that, Jay, is that we're giving a lot of credit to high school rankings 3 years later type of thing.
Right. Right.
Like, I mean, to me, what you're graded as a high schooler shouldn't matter when you're a senior in college or a junior in college.
Right.
That was my initial takeaway. And then, of course, the second was, well, yeah, we've underused a lot of talent.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I think we could both agree, or all of us could agree, that this program and players has been underdeveloped, undercoached. They haven't had a proper strength and conditioning program. You know, I mean, they haven't had the right development. And I was thinking, you know, I was like, well, you know, I got thinking about it. You go down the roster, John, and you look at the different position groups, like pretty much every position group, there's players where they could have went anywhere in the country. You know, I mean, Jarrett Garantano, anywhere in the country. Nigel Warrior, you know, I mean, Ty Chandler. I can just keep going on and on. Our defensive line, those kids could have went anywhere in the country. They can't all suck, can they? I mean, they can't all suck. I think it's development, man. So what I'm saying is, if Pruitt comes in here with his staff and he develops them and he coaches them up and we get some proper schemes and some proper coaching that we haven't had under Butch, and my God, you got the second highest paid strength coach in the country now. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying playoffs.
Well, my question, Jay, and I know you're not going to know the answer either, but my question is, how long does development take? Like, can you do that in one off season?
I don't know. I mean,
or does it take two? Does it take 2 years for the strength and conditioning coach to really pay off and to make these freshmen and sophomores stronger? Is it too late for the juniors and seniors to develop who have, you know, been coached poorly for a couple years? I don't know the answer, and maybe you can do that in 7-8 months. I don't know.
Well,
I just don't have high hopes
like
in year one.
I'm thinking next year 7-8 wins. I'm thinking, like, if they get coached up, if we get some good schemes in here and they're run right and our offense is, you know, Tyson Helton and all this stuff. I'm not saying playoffs next year. I'm thinking like 7-8 wins maybe. And if we could do that, I'd be thrilled, you know, to build on that. But I just don't think we're as bad as what we were last year. Like, there's talent on this roster. I just think Butch was an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Tennessee is going to go four. I don't think Tennessee will go 4-8. To me, like, I just keep coming back to people I talk to are just like, oh, let's just make a bowl game type of thing. Because, I mean, West Virginia, anywhere from 10th to 13th team in the country in preseason polls. You do get Florida at home, but you go at Georgia, at Auburn, Alabama, at South Carolina. That's a pretty tough stretch for Tennessee.
Let me tell you something. We make better moonshine than West Virginia, and our women are better looking.
I'm not arguing there. I'm not arguing there. I just don't know if we're ready to beat them in football. Appreciate the phone call, Jay.
We'll see, buddy.
865-546-8200. You like moonshine, Cody? You seem like you would really like moonshine. Oh, wait. No, I know.
What does that mean?
I already know the answer to that. I remember you chugging moonshine for the Fire Butch Jones party.
I did? Yeah, I remember that. Here's what I remember, John. I got an entire room of people to chant, John Reed, John Reed, John Reed, and you still wouldn't take a sip
I didn't
of
want
moonshine.
Any. I didn't want any. What if I went blonde?
You wouldn't even take a sip of it.
I didn't want it. How about instead
How do you turn all those people down?
How about instead of you chastising me for it, you say, you know what, John, I was really impressed that you were able to turn down peer pressure.
I was not impressed at all. I was surprised that you were.
I don't give in to peer pressure. Never have.
I believe it.
Never
I believe
have.
You don't. Obviously not.
I don't smoke. I smoke fools like you on the basketball court. That was always my comeback.
Oh, okay. Well, I like moonshine okay.
Do you think Tennessee has better moonshine than West Virginia was my follow-up?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
I like I've done those moonshine tastings before, you know, they have those
like up in Gatlinburg,
that where you can like you sample it.
Yeah,
those are good. I guess I don't really like all the fruity flavor stuff. I just kind of don't like the sweet stuff as much. I just prefer like the White Lightning.
We think Tennessee girls are better than West Virginia girls. We probably agree with that too, right?
Yeah, I mean, West Virginia, they have girls. I mean, they're all in the mountain, like, hid away up. They're probably all covered in coal, aren't they?
Do you think we beat them in football next year? In Charlotte. Bank of America Stadium, September 1st.
I could see it.
Oh, my God.
I could see it happening.
What do you mean you could see it?
West Virginia.
What kind of analysis is that? I could see it.
It's West Virginia. That's my analysis. It's West Damn Virginia.
We're not going to be scared of West Damn Virginia.
I get that they're supposed to be really good. They got all this talent and all this stuff, whatever. I mean, why are they rated as a top 10 team by some people is what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, I saw where somebody had them as like the seventh best team in the country next year. They're not going to be that good.
Obviously, returning Will Grier.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not scared of Will Grier. I mean, I am scared about Tennessee secondary, though. I am scared of that.
I mean, they were fourth in the Big 12. Like, I don't know why. I guess they got a lot of pieces returning.
You know what place obviously we were in the SEC?
Last, yes.
Yeah. But Would you rather be fourth in the Big 12 or last in the SEC?
I'd rather be fourth in the Big 12.
Okay. 0-8.
Just listen, though. Last year, listen. 7-6.
We beat one Power 5 team last year.
7-6 last year.
Is that true? We only beat one Power 5 team last year, huh?
Look, I know. We were really bad. We were really
Georgia Tech was it. That's the only Power 5 win we had last year?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, that's true.
We beat one Power 5 team.
Yes.
All of a sudden, that 4-8 doesn't feel as impressive as it once was.
Well, no. I mean, you only beat UMass, Indiana State.
We were 1-8. Should have
lost to UMass.
We were 1-8.
Should have lost to UMass.
Oh, my goodness.
Should have been 3-9.
Probably should have lost to Georgia Tech.
Yeah, that's true.
You blocked that field goal to avoid losing that. Hell, you could have been 2-10. And you think we're going to go beat West Virginia?
I'm not saying I think we will.
You said you could see it happening.
No, all I'm saying is
you're getting choked up on your own words because your body's trying to tell you to abort this stupid mission. Abort the mission. If you ask me, can I see us beating West Virginia? No, I can't see it.
I mean, what does West Virginia have that's so special? They went 7-6.
Better, 7-6 or 4-8?
They got blown out by Utah in the Heart of Dallas Bowl.
It's a bowl game.
They got destroyed by Oklahoma.
Will Grier was out. They had like their second or third string quarterback in.
Texas beat them by 14 points. Texas lost to Maryland.
Okay.
Maryland sucked.
Uh-huh. Maryland was better than Vanderbilt.
No. Were they?
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
No, Maryland was 4-8 last year.
Oh, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I just assume they were better than
Vanderbilt.
Look,
I'm just trying to stay positive. I don't think – I mean, the line's, what, 7.5? That's winnable.
Tweeter writes in that Pruitt will out-scheme Holgorsen and make them beat us with the run.
Yeah.
That game may not be close.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, what?
Yeah, the game not being close confuses me at the end. Does he think we're going to blow them out or that they're going to beat us with the run and it won't be close? Because I
don't know.
I don't see us walking in and blowing West Virginia out.
Maybe I'm just looking at this from a name basis, but anytime Tennessee plays an out-of-conference Power 5 team, they win.
Pat White and Steve Slayton aren't walking through those doors.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't see Rich Rod over there anymore with Butch as his receivers coach. I mean, think about this, though. Every time Tennessee plays a non-conference Power 5 team, I mean, when's the last time they lost? To a non-conference Power 5. Oklahoma? I mean, think about all the great wins in there. Georgia Tech? Virginia Tech? Iowa? Northwestern?
That's true. You're right about that.
Nebraska?
Uh-huh. Keep it going.
I think that's
NC State.
NC State. That's right.
I mean, there was a North Carolina loss. No, that was after the North Carolina loss. Okay, we're on a win streak.
I mean, we've been great outside of Oklahoma against a non-conference Power 5 team. We've been great.
My man Terrell sends in a BuzzFeed article who ranks the sexiest states in America.
Ooh.
You want to know where West Virginia comes in ranked?
50th.
50th.
As they should be.
I'll tell you more about West Virginia and how sexy they are on the other side. Because hour one's in the books. Hour two is on deck. Stick with us on this Valentine's Day edition of Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.